Welcome to Christians Community Center of Los Angeles, the church for truth seekers. I am Pastor Tom Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about Christians Community Center of Los Angeles Ministries and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at www.ccla.org. We also want you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show thyself approved unto Yahweh, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom.
Another opportunity to share with you. I am so thankful for it. Let's turn to Isaiah. Now, here at Christians Community Center or 3CLA, we are a word church. It's not about tradition or religion or any of those things. It is about the truth. We are truth seekers. We desire to know what the truth is. We have truth seekers up in here. All right. So it's not about what Pastor Tom says. It's about what the word says. I don't want you walking around, walking away from here saying, well, he said, no. I want you to walk away from here saying that the word said. All right. So that's what it is about. It's about sharing truth. And that's what we do. You'll hear the name Yeshua. You've heard it in song. You've heard it as, you'll be hearing it as I'm teaching. Yeshua is just the true Hebrew name of our Savior that died on the cross for our sins. Do not leave here saying they're talking about somebody else. We ain't talking about nobody else. We are talking about the one that died on the cross for your sins and my sins, the one that was sent by his Father to come save us because we were in need of being saved. Yes, hallelujah. And the beauty is that his true Hebrew name, Yeshua, means that he will save, he will deliver. That's what his name means. And so we are truth seekers. So go to Isaiah, and if you are a Hebrew scholar, it's Yeshayahu. Amen. The 55th chapter. What we are talking about is something that is germane to our lives. Something practical that you can apply this to your life. When you were transformed, something happened. What do I mean when you were transformed? When you said, hey, I want to give my life to the Savior. I'm tired of living the way I've been living. I want to live a new life. And then you took the step to be born again, right? So when you were born again, something happened. You were transformed, right? You have a new life. You're not the same anymore. Tell your neighbor, we're not the same anymore. So we made a decision for change. So when we made that decision for change, we have to embrace that change. It's different. And so what we've been finding out is that embracing the change takes us to do as the word says, repent, or metanoia, Greek, turn away from the way that we were thinking and turn to the way we should be thinking. We find out that the kingdom has a way of thinking. We are to be supposed to be of the same mind. We should have a mind to want to do the word. So in essence, I believe this series that we're on is embracing the change, but he also gave it to me last week. He said, it's a kingdom state of mind. It's a kingdom state of mind. Say it, it's a kingdom state of mind. So the way I live, the way I make my decisions, what I decide to do, what I decide to pursue, it should be about the kingdom. It should be that we're doing things according to the kingdom. What is according to the kingdom? According to his word. He's given us everything we need to know to be able to live this life. Who wants to live this life successfully? I do. Amen. You should too. So if we go to the 55th chapter of Isaiah, and bear with me on this time because we're just a little behind, but it's okay. So the word gives us some instructions. In the 55th chapter of Isaiah, or Yeshayahu 55:7, it says, let the wicked forsake his way. And what? And the unrighteous man his thoughts. So we're talking about ways and we're talking about thoughts. The only way that you can do do ways or have things that you do is that it is created by a what? Thought. That's how it happens. This is how it works. And so it says, there is a way that the wicked used to think. There's a way that the unrighteous, what? Used to think. There's a way that they used to do it, but evidently there's a new way, right? That he has created. And so according to his word, he says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto Yahweh, right? And he will have mercy upon him and to our God, and he will abundantly pardon. And in the 8th verse, he says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. So I've been talking about this for the last few weeks, but as I begin to meditate, you know, you can't just listen to a message and then move on. You still can move on, but you got to go back and listen, right? And so as I begin to go back and meditate on what he was saying here, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, my thoughts, his thoughts. What are his thoughts? And as I begin to meditate on that, his thoughts are thoughts of the word. So there's something that his thoughts do that my thoughts don't do so well. Because his thoughts are based in the word, his thoughts produce something. Because his word produces. His word does stuff. His word makes things happen. His word changes the atmosphere. His word transforms your life. You would not be sitting here transformed had it not been for his word. So if his word does something, that means that his thoughts do something. If his word produces, that means his thoughts produce. So therefore, I understand why he's telling me to forsake my way, because my way, my thoughts produce some stuff that they don't need to be produced. I choose to adopt his thoughts, because his thoughts are going to produce something powerful in my life. Do you believe that? And if I grab hold of his thoughts, then I grab hold of the power that is in his word. If I grab hold of the power that is in his word, I grab hold of all the things that his word will produce. Does anybody want to grab hold of what his word will produce? So that's why I got to get rid of it. Well, I think it should be this way, and I think. He don't care nothing about what you think. He created the universe. He is the reason why you are here. So guess what? I believe that he knows what he's doing. Maybe you need to say it. I believe he knows what he's doing. Why don't you tell him? Yahweh, I believe you know what you are doing. So therefore, I'm going to forsake my way, and I'm going your way. In Yeshua's mighty name. Amen. He knows what he's doing. He knows what the plan is for our lives. So, knowing this, it says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts, your thoughts. His thoughts not only produce, but his thoughts elevate. How do I know his thoughts elevate? Because it says his thoughts are higher. So he has his thoughts can do a whole lot more than my thoughts can do, right? How do I know what his thoughts are? Hey, well, we're going to find that out. And so go to Jeremiah, the 29th chapter. How do I know what his thoughts are? How do I know? I got to go in the word and find out what his thoughts are. His thoughts are connected to the word. And just as the word produces, his thoughts will produce something marvelous and wonderful in your life. I don't know about you, but I need something marvelous and wonderful produced in my life. I need something powerful in my life. Therefore, that I got to forsake my way. So Jeremiah, and for you Hebrew scholars, Jeremiah is Yirmiyahu. Amen. So it's the 29th chapter. Well, I don't know what his thoughts are. His thoughts are in the Word, y'all. So let's find out. How do you know? Jeremiah 29, chapter, the 11th verse says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you." Well, who's talking? Yahweh's talking. He says, "I know the thoughts that I what? Think towards you." Wow. Well, guess what we found out? Thoughts are intentions. Whatever you got going through your mind, those are intentions on what you're going to do. Hello, hello. Put your finger on your head and say, "I got to get this." Every thought that goes through your mind are intentions. And the one that you grab hold of, that's the thought that is going to produce an action. Hello? So you got all kinds of stuff going through your mind, right? But it's what you choose to grab hold of and do. Thoughts always intend to do something. Thoughts end up somewhere. When you find yourself in the hotel, it didn't just happen when you got in the hotel. The thought happened before you got to the what? Hotel. It could have happened, you could have planned that out a week or two ago. Maybe a month ago. Yes, it did. So that's your the thoughts that are flying through our intentions. And there's a saying that Kenneth Hagin said. He said, "You can't stop the birds from flying over your head, but you can stop them from making a nest in your hair." Somebody didn't hear that. You can't stop them from flying above, but you can stop them from sitting on top of your head and making a nest. And that's how your thoughts are. You can't stop them from flying necessarily, but what thought are you going to allow to nest on your head? What thought are you going to allow to take residence and produce an action in your life, right? And so you got to start thinking about this. And so that's what we've been talking about. So it says, "For I know the thoughts, the plans, the intentions that I think towards you, saith Yahweh." How do I know which thoughts are his and which thoughts are mine? He's about to tell us. He's about to qualify the kind of thoughts that he has. He says, "They're thoughts of peace." They're thoughts of shalom. If your thought isn't a thought of shalom, it's not his thought. So I can say this. If it's a thought of love, pure love, agape love, not eros love, okay? If it's a thought of love, it's what? His thoughts, right? And it says what? Thoughts of peace and not of evil. Oh, so if I have an evil thought, I don't know, is that come from Yahweh or that comes from the enemy? Guess what? According to the scripture, it comes from the enemy. Why? Because Yahweh's thoughts are not thoughts of what? Evil. So they're thoughts of peace, shalom. They're thoughts not of evil. And their thoughts to give you an expected. And what is an expected end? A favorable end. Who wants a favorable end? Who wants a good end to the challenges that you have, right? I want what he has for me. What he has for me is good, y'all. I don't tell your neighbor, what he has for us is good. What he has for us is good. Tell somebody, what he has for us is not evil. And it gives us an expected end. Well, what is the expected end? Well, he told me I was more than a conqueror. So if I'm more than a conqueror, that means the expected end is victory. Who wants victory? Right. An expected end is that I'm undefeated. Right? The expected end is that I can do all things through Mashiach who strengthens me. The expected end is that I'm going to be strong. So if you have thoughts of weakness, if you have thoughts of evil, of fear, guess what? Tell yourself, those aren't his thoughts. Tell yourself. And we found out in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve sinned and they discovered that they were naked, and he asked, where you at? And they was like, well, we found out that we was naked. He said, who told you that? Where did that thought come from? Because it's not my thought. Adam said, I was afraid. He said, who told you that? I never created you to be afraid. I created you to be strong and overcome. And that's what he created us to do. Adam lost the whole planet because he could not bring his thoughts in line with what Yahweh's thoughts were. Because if he had brought them in line, there wouldn't have been no issue. So it says an expected end. Somebody's up in here worried about paying bills. Well, if you're worried about paying bills, whose thoughts are those? Those are not his thoughts, because his thought says, I will supply all of your needs according to his riches. And who believes that? So worry is not what? His thoughts. So if you're sitting up in here worrying, get your mind together. Because somebody is in here, oh, Lord, what am I going to do? Oh, I don't know how this is going to work out. It's not up to you to know how it's going to work out. If you just give it to him, he'll work it out. He said, cast your cares upon me because I care for you. So worrying is not of Yahweh. Guess what? Nagging is not of Yahweh. And let me tell you why nagging is not of Yahweh. Because the person that's doing the nagging is worried that it's not going to get done, so they're trying to put it in their own hands. And if I put it in their own hands and trying to control it, they sitting there trying to make you do something. They trying to do the work that Yahweh can only do. And I'm saying that because there's some folks that's nagging and it ain't going to work. You ain't Yahweh. You ain't going to make somebody do something. The only way somebody going to do something is that they're motivated to do it because they believe it's the right thing. And he's the only one that can do that. So sisters, stop nagging. Now, you know, men can nag too. Brothers, put it in Yahweh's hands, dude. Can't nobody work it out like he can. Now, ladies, I'm going to give you a small out. The Bible says we can lovingly remind. Because, see, nagging and evil, you need to do, you ain't good for nothing. That's not how Yahweh talks. That's not how Yahweh operates. But if you say, baby, I just want to lovingly remind you, can you take out the trash? And because that person lovingly reminded you, because Yahweh's based in love. So if you want something done, you need to operate in what? Love begets love. So when you tell me, baby, I will lovingly remind you, I say, I lovingly receive that, babe. I'm going to make sure that I do that. But if you come with all that angst and all that anger and all that attitude and all that mess, that's not of Yahweh. You ain't coming to me in Yahweh's way. You coming to me in your what? Your own way. Now, I don't know why I ended up there, but praise Yahweh, somebody might have needed that. So get a hold of what Yahweh's thoughts are, how Yahweh would do things and how he would motivate. It's love. And like I said, Adam lost the entire planet because he did not control his thoughts. So let's go to 2 Corinthians. Because there is stuff that you guys are facing. And the only way that you are going to navigate it and get through it in a successful end is that you do what Yahweh has instructed us to do by his word. He told us to forsake our way. We used to pull out guns to solve problems. We used to go to fisticuffs to solve problems. But we've been transformed. We've been translated. We've been renewed, right? So to solve problems, we don't go to the gun. We go to the word. We go to the word, right? Well, how does that work? Let's find out. 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. Somebody say amen. We getting our teaching, our ammunition. And let me tell you something. Some people, right, even in this setting, somebody was like, I'm going to do it the way I'm going to do it. I'm going to keep on nagging. Let me let you know that's going to end up to an expected end, and that end is going to be defeat, y'all. Because you are dead set in your way, it's not going to produce anything. It's not going to change anything. But if you give it to Yahweh, he'll solve it. He'll work it out. Give it up to him. 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. Fourth verse says what? For the weapons. Wait, so we get to use weapons? Yes. We have some special weapons that we have at our disposal. Tell me about those weapons, Pastor Tom. Okay. For our weapons of our warfare, say our weapons of our warfare are not carnal. So we don't go to the switchblade. We don't go to the gun. We don't go to the bat. Our weapons are mighty. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but what? See, and y'all don't believe that your weapons are mighty. So maybe I need to get you to confess it. Say, our weapons are mighty. Say it again. Our weapons are mighty. This is how some of y'all saying, our weapons are mighty. That means you don't believe that your weapons are mighty. Say, our weapons are mighty. That's what I'm talking about. So, how mighty are they? Ask me the question. It says that they're mighty to the pulling down. What are strongholds? Strongholds are literally a house of thoughts. It is a cumulative, brick upon brick, bad way of thinking that the enemy has produced in your life. I'm going to keep on thinking this way. I'm going to keep on thinking this way. And before you know it, you have built up a fortress, a house of bad thinking. Guess what we call in the natural a fortress, a stronghold, a fortress of bad thinking, or a house of thoughts? What do we call that in the natural? We call it a hard head. You've built up a stubbornness. You've built up a pride. You've built up a bad way of thinking that only until you let Yahweh tear that down can he deliver you and bring you to a point of freedom. Bring you to a point of deliverance. Because sometimes we just think, we just keep on, well, I'm going to keep on thinking this way, and I'm going to keep on thinking this. Guess what? My question to you is, what has it produced in your life? What has your stronghold produced in your life? Strongholds produce fear. Strongholds produce suffering. Strongholds produce depression. Why? Because your mind knows if you keep on thinking that way, you ain't gonna get nowhere and you ain't gonna make no progress. So what? You just keep on digging and you get lower and lower and lower and lower. Because you've said, I'm gonna keep my house of thoughts. Well, that's what depression is. Depression is, I am depressed, I am pressed down, I feel like I ain't going nowhere. But I'm telling you today, Yahweh has come to free you from depression, to relieve you of depression. Why? Because depression is not his thought. Fear is not his thought, right? And so it goes here. Our weapons are mighty through Yahweh to the pulling down of strongholds. What is our weapon? Our weapon is the word. Our weapon is what? Word. Let me give you some more weapons. Our weapons is prayer. Our weapon is faith. See, I got some people that don't believe that these weapons are mighty. I know some people that got a testimony of cancer being healed. If that weapon ain't mighty, I don't know what weapon is. Through prayer, right? So say prayer is a weapon. Say the word is a weapon. Faith is a weapon. I'm about to use these weapons. You say it. I'm about to use these weapons. Right. You got somebody come up on you, don't take a bullet. Don't go for the gun. Go for the word. Guess what? Power is a weapon. Say power is a weapon. Say the Holy Ghost is a weapon. Come on, y'all. You got to believe this. You got all these, you got the Holy Ghost at your disposal. You got faith at your disposal. You got the word in your disposal. These weapons are mighty. And if I got to understand that you guys understand this. Let's go here. Let's go to the fifth verse. Right? What do those weapons do? Cast down. What are imaginations? Imaginations are thoughts that are fed to you. Thoughts are being fed to you. So what do? Cast them down. Did you know that you had the power to cast them down? How do you know that you got the power to cast them down? Because the word of Yahweh says, my weapons are mighty. The word also says, no weapon formed against me shall what? Prosper, right? Okay. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge. What does that mean? That means stuff is going to come to you and stuff is going to confront you that is against the word that you know. If Yahweh said you're more than a conqueror, that imagination and that thought is going to try to come and say, and you a loser. But it says, I can cast that thought down and I can take what? It says, anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of Yahweh. So if the enemy's telling you you're a loser, he's trying to exalt himself against the word of Yahweh that says you are more than a conqueror. So what do you do with that? What do you do with that thought? The officer says you arrest it. How do you arrest it? It says you got to bring it in to captivity. So that means any thought that is not the word, I can take it, I can arrest it, I can lock it away, I can kick it to the curb, I can put it under my feet, and it has no power over me. You take that thought and you bring it into what? See, that was the problem with Adam and Eve. They weren't the gatekeepers. They were supposed to check that stuff, them thoughts that came through. They were supposed to say, you can't come through. They were were supposed to judge and say, you ain't got the word credentials to get through here. Therefore, since you ain't talking the same word that I know that Yahweh's talking, you can't come in. Some of y'all thinking some thoughts right now that when you compare it against the word, it don't line up, right? So he's giving us power, which is mighty. Say, our weapons are mighty. So it says, anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of Yahweh. When a thought comes and says, you're weak, the word says, let the weak say, I'm strong. So therefore, when you answer that negative thought with the word, you have brought that thought into captivity and it has no power over you. And the problem is, we not bringing thoughts into captivity. We're letting thoughts take us captive. There's a difference. If you let your mind run away with you, it is taking you captive. But if you take that thought into captivity and say, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written in the word of Yahweh that I can do all things through Yeshua that strengthens me. That is the answer. Your mind can run away with you. Just like last week, all I told the sister was three letters. C-A-R. That's it. I just told the sister three letters. And before you knew it, she said it was red. It had four doors. It was a Nissan Altima that was parked in the parking lot. She had the keys, amen. And it was all that from C-A-R, which tells you that your thoughts can run away and produce something, yeah? So if you know that your thoughts can produce something, why not let your thoughts produce what the word has for you? Why not let your thoughts produce what Yahweh has for you? So I got to grab hold of those thoughts. Okay, so this is the key. Loving it, loving it. If we go here to the sixth, and a lot of times we skip this, but it says bringing into captivity every thought. Say, I have to bring into captivity every thought. I should only bring a couple of thoughts into captivity. He says, bring what? Every thought, you got to be the gatekeeper. You got to be the sha'ar. And every thought that comes through your mind, you got to vet it. You got to make sure. And if that thought is not of Yahweh, take it into captivity. Say every thought. All right. Sixth verse. Having in a readiness. Wait, hold up, listen, people. And having in a readiness to revenge all. That means you are ready to come against whatever comes through there. Why does it say? Because it's whatever is not of Yahweh is disobedience. Right? And the beautiful part about this is that when you read further, it says, when your obedience is fulfilled, guess what that means? You got to make up in your mind that you're going to be obedient to the word of Yahweh. And when you make a decision to be obedient and trust and do and believe in the word of Yahweh, then you can engage your power to take thoughts captive. So you got to be sure that you want to do what the word says do. Because otherwise you're going to be like, well, should I bring you into captivity? Or should I let you, why don't you sit right here and talk for a while? Well, why is that? You're compromising because you ain't made up in your mind that you're going to be. How can you take authority over disobedience when you're disobedient? It doesn't make any sense. For you to take authority over disobedience, you need to make a decision to be obedient.
If you decide you ain't coming to church, when the word of Yahweh says, forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together, then you've already positioned yourself for disobedience. So how are you going to effectively take thoughts captive? Because once the devil, he wants to lure you out there. And once he gets you out there, he'll get you to start thinking how he wants you to think. Tell your neighbor, you better stay on the ship. You better stay on the ship. Because as soon as you go straying off somewhere, you're going to lose your power. And your weapons ain't going to be mighty because you haven't decided that you're living in obedience and that you're going to do the word and that you trust Yahweh with your life. Trust him enough to know that he knows what is good for you. He knows the thoughts he has for you. He has thoughts of peace, not of evil, to bring you to an expected end, which is victory. You need to get it. Last thing, we found out that when the Bible talks about heart, it's talking about the Greek word cardia. What is the Greek word cardia? That is the mind. So let's go to one more scripture. Psalms 112. And for you Hebrew scholars, what is Psalms 112? Tehillim 112. I want to leave you with this thought. I'm leaving you with this thought. This is a thought of power. Amen. Psalms 112. You're facing some stuff right now. Some situations have presented themselves in your life. And if they haven't, they will. Because that's what they do. But what is your response going to be to those challenges? That is what makes the difference. So he says, Psalms 112, chapter 7, verse. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. We're about to talk about the person that has decided to adopt the ways of Yahweh, the ways of thinking of Yahweh. So we're saying this is going to be evidence of that. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. Pastor Tom, what are evil tidings? News. Reports. Situations. Rumors. All of those things are tidings. So he, somebody say she, then they shall not be afraid of evil tidings. What are the news? You're going to hear news. You're going to hear reports. You're going to hear situations. You're going to hear rumors. So when you hear that, any believers in the house? Believers, when you hear that, if you're truly in Yahweh, it says you will not be afraid of evil tidings. Why is that? His heart, wait a minute, his cardia, his mind is fixed. Why am I not afraid of evil tidings? Because my mind is fixed. My mind is fixed. How is it fixed? It's fixed in trusting in Yahweh. Whose mind is fixed today? So therefore, listen, if you're afraid of the news that you just heard, if you're afraid of the evil tidings, I'm here to tell you, saints, your mind is not fixed. Key you in on something. We used to sing a song called My Soul is Anchored. Well, now that we got teaching, we know that the heart, the mind, is the same as the soul. It's the soul, the mind, right? So now you can sing the song and really believe it because it says, my mind has been anchored in Yahweh. Because we were like, oh, yes, and when the storms don't cease, and if the winds keep on blowing in my life, my soul has been, and we, oh, yeah, my soul. Hey. But did you really know if your soul was anchored? I wasn't talking about your heart. So now you can say, and if the storms don't cease, and if the winds keep on blowing in my life, my mind has been anchored in Yahweh. Guess what? If my mind is anchored in Yahweh, my thoughts are anchored in Yahweh. So what does anchored mean? That's what fixed means. His heart. His mind is fixed. How is it fixed? It's fixed trusting in who? Yahweh. Anybody's mind fixed this morning? Anybody's mind fixed this morning? And it says, his mind, eighth verse, is established. What does that mean? If his mind is established, that means he's taking his thoughts captive. Why? Because his mind is anchored, is fixed in trusting in Yahweh, fixed in trusting in his word. Whatever Yahweh says, I'm going to do it. I'm anchored in it. I'm fixed in it. You ain't going to move me. Thoughts, you're going to line up with the word. And he shall not be afraid until he sees his desires on his enemy. What are those desires? That they defeated. His desires is that they ain't got no power. They can't do nothing to you. They can't hold you captive. You already won because Yahweh's already given you the victory. You better accept your victory. You need to walk in your victory, and you better claim it in Yeshua's mighty name. My mind. Say it. My mind. My mind is anchored. My mind is fixed. My mind is in Yahweh. And I will settle for nothing less in Yeshua's mighty name. I got the victory. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father Yahweh, we thank you. Thank you for your word. We ain't got to be afraid. We don't have to be in low standing and low self-esteem and all of the things that the enemy is trying to drag us down into. We don't have to be depressed. We have already been given success by you, Yahweh. You've already succeeded. We need to receive it. So right now, in the mighty name of Yeshua, instill in the minds of each and every one of us the importance of our thoughts being fixed on you. The importance of us taking our thoughts captive. The importance of us being the gatekeeper. How will we know what to do? Because we're in your word. And if we have not been in your word, Father Yahweh, minister to us how we can be deeper, closer, higher in you, Father Yahweh. We thank you and praise you for that opportunity. In Yeshua's mighty name we pray. Amen. Keep your head bowed really quick. I would be amiss if I would not acknowledge the opportunity for those who say, listen, I do want to get my mind in him. I've been...